Ashling Larkin, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Special mention to Jack Malloy and Son, local butchers. And they're all great there in Jack Malloy's. Jack Malloy Butchers, Craft Butchers in Barrack Street in Waterford. Now, Ashling, as you know, chef, TV cook, food media broadcaster. And we have now in front of us the perfect cheese board.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a little bit of video for social media on this. We had a good discussion about this morning. Where does the cheese board come from? You've given me a very good handout. I'll have a read of that now in a second. But what's the history of the cheese board? Is it... like, talk to me about where it came from.
Because, I suppose.
Because it's one of those things that really gets people talking.
Yeah.
At dinners, but also beforehand. You might think, is it a bit, does somebody have notions if they have a cheese board? Do you put Easy Singles on a cheese board? Laughing Cow?
Baby Bell.
A Baby Bell. Now, that's really pushing it.
That's my stretch to a Baby Bell.
So what's the history of the cheese board?
No, look, it's, I suppose, there's a couple of different things. First of all, I suppose there's, you've got a cheese board, you've got a charcuterie board, you've got a grazing board, which is almost like the combination of both of those things. And I think that's what we've become more familiar with, is this kind of grazing board. Cheese boards have been around for so, so long. I mean, France particularly, it was kind of this, they use them quite as... an aperitivo moment. So the Mediterranean countries have this beautiful kind of tradition of kind of 5 p.m. you know, work is done, let's all sit down, we'll have a coffee, we'll have a beer, we'll have a little glass of vino, and we'll share little plates of food, you know, be it that that's tapas in Spain, and sometimes it was that kind of charcuterie board, that cheese board in France. Because why? They had amazing, they still have amazing dairy, amazing cheese. And I suppose for as little as I may have about the changa of Gaeilge, what I do have is such a deep appreciation. And you know me, I talk about it every single week, of our Irish producers. You know, that's my contribution. And it is because, like, the cheese we have in Ireland is just tremendous, like tremendous cheese. I think we have, if you look at Borbia, it's over 50 small artisan Irish cheesemakers. So, like, that's at least one per county, if not more, and depending where you're coming from. Like, so we never really need any more, in my opinion. Like, cheese boards were always based on, oh, you had to have French cheeses, maybe. And yes, continental cheeses are beautiful, and we'll talk about some of them. But you could build a full cheese board without ever leaving this lovely little island from the amazing, amazing cheeses that we have. So supporting our small local Irish producers is so important. Like, it's so important. And they've upped their game so much over the last couple of years in terms of the variety of cheeses that we have, the style of cheeses, and also the charcuterie, which is those cold meats, you know, those cured meats. Again, they were things we had to go to France for and things we had to go to Spain for. And there's amazing Irish producers. So we'll kind of talk through a little bit of that and then how to actually build this board. And I suppose when you talk about where does it fit in, for me, it is that if you have a couple, if you have people coming over, you know, I think it's lovely to maybe offer them a glass of wine or something non-alcoholic and just have a little board in the centre. It kind of brings people together. It's a little bit communal, it's convivial, and you kind of go, would you like a little bite of this? I'll have a little bit of this. Oh God, I tried that. Now what's that? It starts conversation and it kind of keeps the conversation flowing. You know, if you're kind of moving around a room but you're coming back to the board, then you have, you meet somebody along the way and you're standing beside somebody else. So I love it for that social aspect of it.
So you're... main belief for a cheese board, its place in the world is before a meal. In other words, half an hour in advance, people can pick. Or are you somebody that says a cheese board is good after a meal? Like, would you change a dessert, have a cheese board instead?
Yeah, so I think the grazing board, which is what I've brought today, which is that combination of pestos, dips, meats, cheeses, crackers, that's your... instead of a meal. That's your, you know, have it before a meal, instead of a meal, that kind of almost replacement.
Yeah, because again, in Ireland, there's a tradition that you don't graze. You have a big plate of spuds and mash and vegetables. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know,
whereas, very, very much so.
But we are changing.
We are.
And you can have a substantial meal with cheeses and, as you say, a little bit of dried meats and vegetables and a little bit of fruits and stuff like that, which would be very healthy.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, it's in moderation, I think. You know, like, there's a lot of fat in the cheese and the meat and stuff like that. I wouldn't be saying have it every day of the week. It's a real treat. Where I think the cheese board specifically sits on its own is you know, you see it in a lot of like fine dining restaurants, I suppose, where you'll have your starter, you'll have your main, you'll have your dessert. And then there will always be the offer of, you know, a little plate of cheeses at the end, a selection of Irish farmhouse cheeses. Maybe it's like €8 per person, kind of €9 or something. And that's kind of three normally little, very small little bites of cheese with maybe one or two crackers and a beautiful little chutney or a quince or something like that. And I think if you're maybe, you know, you're in a restaurant, you're out, if you're kind of lingering for like two and a half hours, it's lovely to have something to nibble on afterwards.
Now, let's go through the number of the cheeses. So you have this board in front of us again. We'll put it up for social media. Some crackers on the edge of it. We'll talk about displaying in a little while. There are a number of grapes there as well, a few little strawberries. And so what do you do? Yeah. Let's say somebody is now thinking, OK, we've got St. Patrick's weekend. I'm going to have a few people over. I want to do a cheese board. Aisling Larkin, tell me.
So I think this serves two. So I've got it on a board. And again, we've talked about slates. You could have slates. You could have a marble, like this beautiful marble kind of cheese board. You can get a wooden cheese board. Try not to just put it on an old dinner plate from the press, is what I would say, because it kind of does ruin the look. You do need to present it on something lovely first. And then I try and build it out where we've got kind of three or four different crackers displayed around the edge. So your car's water crackers are really good because they're so bland. They taste like nothing. So you really are allowed to taste the cheese. Sometimes you want a kind of a like a richer kind of cracker, like a wheat cracker, a buttery cracker. Excuse me, sorry. And that will pair really, really nicely with some of your lighter cheeses, like a Manchego or something. Then I've got some Carr's crackers, Sheridan's cheesemongers. And again, they're out in Arklean, but they kind of launched these fabulous range of crackers. And there's like Irish brown bread crackers, rye crackers, sesame crackers, beetroot crackers. So, so interesting. Beautiful ones. If you want a kind of a nice different cracker, they're lovely.
And do crackers make a difference like that?
Ah, yeah, they do. The different texture of the cracker will pair really nicely with a different cheese. So a softer cracker and a harder cheese, or if you've got your lovely kind of melty brie or something like that, that'll go really nicely with a buttery kind of cracker as well. So okay. I do think that's nice. Breadsticks are also lovely to go with your dips.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned here in the little sheet that you gave me, odd number of cheeses, 3, 5 or 7. Why are you suggesting that?
Always, always when you do food, odd numbers, 3, 5, 7. It's presentation, it's...
Never heard of that
before.
So really?
Anytime you're ever plating up, like let's say you were plating up lamb chops for somebody, like instead of plating two, plate three. And this is no presentation more than nutritive value, etc., etc. But if you garnish things, always garnish in odd numbers. Oh. It's a little kind of arch thing, like odd numbers, 3, 5, 7. So in terms of some of the cheeses, right, we go through three cheeses.
Please do.
What I would say, go with a hard, go with a soft, go with a semi-soft. Okay, so if we're talking about some of the hard cheeses, you're talking things like Parmesan. Parmesan, we think, is kind of just for grating over pasta. It's not. 36-month-old aged Parmesan. Little Aldi, everywhere sell it, just keep an eye out for it. It's absolutely beautiful. There's almost like these crystal, like if you look at it, they're like these little kind of whitey salt, almost crystals in it. Stunning. That with a little drop of red wine, fabulous. So don't rule out a really good Parmesan. Now, if you've got the packet of old grated stuff, don't bother. Cheddar. Home of Kilmeade and all that good stuff, be it that it's a red cheddar, be it that it's a white cheddar, be it that it's you can have a really nice smoked cheddar. So we've got beautiful oak smoked cheddars in Ireland, which are lovely. Again, rather than just going for the cheddar you're putting in a sandwich, I would suggest putting in something like a vintage cheddar or a mature cheddar, because the older, the more aged it is, the more umami, the more depth the flavour is in it, just the more delicious it is. Also, the stronger the flavour, the less of it that you need. You don't want to, like, this is very rich food, so you don't want to fill up your tummy kind of too quickly. So a little bit is less is really good. Something like a Gruyere, Emmental, all beautiful. And again, all of the supermarkets have started to stock like gorgeous continental cheeses as well as some of your Irish cheeses. Then if you're going to something like a semi-hard, you're going to things like Edam, Emmental, Gouda. Your soft cheeses then, or your semi-soft, are this one here, which is a Manchego. With beautiful Irish goat's cheeses. Sometimes we associate goat's cheese as only being that very soft cheese. But actually you can get a semi kind of hard goat's cheese. So it comes in a block and you cut it. Which is really, really lovely.
That's delicious now, yeah.
Isn't it? Really nice. So that's the goats and the Manchego are in there. Then in terms of your semi-soft, you're moving to something like your Roquefort, your Blues, like your Cashel Blue. And again, like, why would we be buying a French when we can buy an Irish? There's also is it Tipperary or Wicklow? A Brie Blue. So if you're nervous...
Wicklow.
If you're nervous of a blue cheese...
Up Wicklow.
Go with the brie that has the blue through it. It's the most beautiful introduction to a blue cheese. And again, blue cheeses, your camemberts, they're so soft, they're so melty. Top tip with the cheese is obviously don't take them straight out of the fridge. Leave them, like have your cheese board out for at least an hour before you serve it to anybody, because what happens when it's cold, all those fat molecules kind of retract and they all tighten up and they won't release the flavour. So when they're warm, they loosen, all that beautiful flavour gets released from the cheese.
Talk to me about the rind.
Yeah, so some cheeses come with a rind. So sometimes people will say with like the likes of the brie here, it has a little rind on it. Or the likes of a goat's cheese will have a little rind on it. They're fine to eat, like no problem. You don't have to take them. You can take them off if you want, but you don't have to take them off. Something like, we have some really big cheeses, like Stinking Bishop is one of them. My brother-in-law brought it home from France, Mont d'Or, and there was another one he brought home, like in his hand luggage on a plane from France once. I swear to God, the smell when we met him, let alone what it was like on everyone else on the plane, I felt really bad for them. But anyway, Stinking Bishop is one of them. They basically kind of soak the cheese in like a water, allow the bacteria to ferment. It gets this rind on it, and it's basically what creates the bacteria, which is what creates that very intense flavour and smell. Now, some people love it. Some people will describe it as quite a farmyard taste and smell. But it, like, I suppose that's when you're up in your kind of steaks of your cheese eating, which is really nice. Some of the other ones I have here are these little, like Swiss rolls.
Yeah.
Almost. And one has a green pesto in it. This one has pineapple in it. Now, okay. I bought them ages ago and I remember kind of thinking, oh, they look pretty. I'll put them on the board. People go mad for them. They're as cheap as chips. They're only about €2. They're not Irish, but they're so cheap. They look beautiful on the board and people love them. So they're like a soft cream cheese almost, or a soft goat's cheese, and you spread them onto your cracker.
Now, cheese board etiquette.
Yes. If there is... So I've cut the cheese into all little cubes and chunks for us today, because I just think it's handier for people. But if you're doing a board and you're building it and just putting the hunks and the chunks of cheese on, there is a little piece of etiquette which says you never cut the nose, you know, the point of the wedge, you never cut that. So you always kind of cut from the side. So you never cut a straight bit off. Etiquette wise, that makes it very unpresentable for other people. So you only just cut a little sliver. There's cheese planes, there's cheese wires, there's cheese knives, there's cheese little serving ones. So again, maybe that might be a nice gift if somebody was moving into a house. You get them a little set of cheese knives, which are really, really nice as well.
I like the way you've said, arrange cheeses in a circle clockwise, starting with the mildest and working your way up to the strongest flavour.
Yes, or doing it where the mildest is on the outside and the strongest is on the inside. And it allows people to kind of understand then, okay, what am I getting myself into here? Because sometimes people don't know. Putting little labels out, if you had to, I sound like Meghan Markle now, put label your cheese board. Putting little labels can help though, just if you did want to. I'm careful now. You know what's gorgeous with a cheese board? If you had a bit of leftover Christmas cake.
Oh, wow.
Stunning.
Oh, I have some. I got some down from my mammy's the other day.
There you go.
It's lovely.
Christmas cake and cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
Stunning combination.
Okay.
Works really, really lovely. In terms of condiments.
Condiments
then,
and dressings.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
okay.
I think.
Chutneys, figs.
Yeah. And we've so many chutneys. Again, we are the land of amazing cheesemakers. We are also the land of amazing preserve makers. Jams, chutneys. And it's because, like, we have summer months, we have our glut, and then we kind of, you know, we want to preserve. So it's been a real old tradition for Ireland. Caramelized onion is beautiful.
Yeah.
A tomato one is gorgeous. Quince is beautiful. So quince is like a fruit, but it's a quince paste. Really, really nice. It only costs about €3 or €4, and it's quite restauranty if you were to have it at home. I'm almost sure Dunn sell it. I know Sheridan's do. And like I said, it kind of elevates it to that restaurant kind of style. For the dressings then, things like grapes, figs always look beautiful on it. I love to put a little passion fruit on it, maybe some dried dates as well, fresh figs and dried figs, dates. And then some sprigs of like herbs to bring out those aromatics. So I always put a little bit of rosemary through the middle, so it just looks lovely. There's a couple of little dehydrated oranges on here. You can buy those. They were really difficult to buy. Or fresh orange is actually really, really nice on your cheese board. It looks lovely. And cornichon.
The cheese knife.
Yeah, so as I said, there's loads of different ones you can get. You can kind of get like a cheese string. You can get a cheese plane, which is almost like it has one straight line across, and it's almost like a grater where you just shave off shavings of cheese. So again, that works.
Parmesan, yeah.
Yeah, if you're putting the big hunks of cheese on the board, I think, which is really nice. Another couple of really nice bits to do are your dips. So things like a pesto. a black olive tapenade, and a like a red pesto is really, really nice. So your tapenades are basically your crushed up olives. Muhumara is another one, which is kind of a roast red peppers and walnut dip. Baba ganoush, which is those slow cooked aubergines. And you don't have to make all of these. All of the supermarkets now in that little deli section are selling all of these. So you've got your hummus, muhumara, you've got your pesto, your tapenade. So you've got loads of different ones. So it just means that you're taking, I suppose, a simple cheese board, which might be maybe off-putting for somebody, to something that there's something for everybody on the board. What I actually also have is cherries. I love to put cherries. But then I have these guys, which are dark chocolate coated cherries. So they're dried cherries coated in dark chocolate. So this almost becomes then, when you're finished your cheese and chocolate, really nice. You can just have a little, take one of those cherries.
We don't have time to get into all the meats. You've mentioned Fingal Ferguson's Grubin Chorizo. We've got lamb prosciutto. We've got wooded pigs, free range copa, Ballywillam House, wild venison salami, and real wild Irish game pork prosciutto. Again, giving a nice variety to it.
Yeah, because I think for so long we can maybe thought salami, parma ham. The Irish selection of charcuterie has upped its game massively. And Eurotokes, which is this guild of Irish chefs and producers and cooks, one of the big kind of missions they have for this year is promoting Irish charcuterie, because we don't know enough about it, and it's not stocked. If it's stocked, we can buy it. So we need to get people to start stocking it and to become more aware of it.
It's amazing how the time flies. Will you leave a little bit of this for Jennifer?
Going to leave all of it for everybody.
No, my body's a temple now, so I can't.
Listen, there's a whole crew out there. Look at them. They're starving.
Want to say a special mention. I know you had a bereavement in the family recently. Kathleen Whelan, infuse your grandmother.
Yes, my lovely nanny.
My deepest condolences to you and all the family.
Thank you very much. We will miss her so much.
Aisling, thank you.
Thank you.